Let me begin by just saying that for many years, youth ministers have planned retreats, all kind of evangelistic Bible studies, all types of activities where young people go off, have a tremendous spiritual experience, awakening. Then they come back home, and in what it took the youth minister, or what it took the Holy Spirit to really begin to build in the lives of the young people during the retreat, as they got home within their family, it took about 3 minutes to tear it down a lot of times. And as a result, we have a generation of defeated Christian young people because many of the things that we've been sharing with them are not applicable. For many years, youth ministers have treated young people as though they were isolated individuals and have neglected to realize that they are a part of a basic unit. And the basic unit has been ordained by God and called the family. And then we've also neglected to realize so often that at the very head of this basic family unit are two people called Mom and Dad. And the purpose of this seminar is to try to share with you some of the things that I have learned personally and some of the ideas that I have personally concerning working with parents, really developing a relationship with the parents of your young people, and how this can highlight and really help you in dealing with the basic problems of your young people. First of all, before we can really begin to deal with parents, I think, and some of you are parents, but before we can really begin to deal with the parents of our young people, we need to understand a little bit about them. You know, before we can really determine where we are today, we need to go back and find out from whence we've come, you know? And this is what we need to do with as we look at the parental culture. First of all, most of the parents of your young people are either depression kids or World War II kids or fought during World War II, maybe growing up during the Depression. Now, as a result, these two and many others, I just chose these two aspects of their culture, have had a great impact on their worldview or the way they view life and the very basis that they have for life. During the Depression, many of the parents had to scrape and grind, and many of them had to do without a whole lot of things, a whole lot of necessities even. And as a result of this, they came out of the Depression and came out of World War II with certain basic ideas, certain basic foundational ideas. Francis Schaeffer has said that basically the average parent in the United States and in the world today has two basic concerns, and those concerns are personal peace and prosperity. Personal peace and prosperity. Now, if you're going to be working with parents, you're going to have to understand this. And I'm not putting parents down when I say that they have two basic concerns in life: personal peace and prosperity. If we look where they've come from, we can understand that in a lot of different ways. They had to do without a whole lot, a lot of times. And this is why they want to provide so much more for their kids. Here's something else you're gonna find out. With parents having these two basic concepts and basic goals in life, that of personal peace and prosperity, in the 60s, their children, a lot of them rejected these two basic life goals and rebelled against them. We had all college, all kind of college confusion and riots on campus during the 60s and on up into the 70s. A lot of these kids were rebelling against these two basic purposes and goals that their parents have, those of personal peace. They said they're not sufficient. They're not a sufficient purpose for life. But here's the tragedy of it all. Their answers didn't work either. The answers that the young people had and were working toward in the 60s, they didn't work either. So guess what? The average young person has two basic goals in life today: personal peace and prosperity. Very, very identical ones. You work with young people today, and you'll find that. Young people, I've coined a phrase that you can take or leave. But when I think about parental culture, I think that the average parent in the United States, I call them half modern men and women. Half modern men and women. I'll tell you why. Because they still have some belief in truth, or they have a memory of it, you know, from their background. They have a memory of absolutes. Most parents do today. So they're only half modern. See, a totally modern man does not believe that truth exists. A totally modern man does not believe that truth exists. And if you're going to be working with parents and you're going to be working with young people, you need to realize this. The average teenager and the average high schooler in the United States does not believe that there's any such thing as truth. You come to them and talk to them of truth, they think you're crazy. They don't believe that it exists. They think that everything is relative. They think that everything is conditional. They think they themselves are conditional. You say, why? Well, the basic reason why is they're being educated to believe that. Social determinism. Conditioning, B.F. Skinner, and all the rest. B.F. Skinner himself has made a statement like this in Beyond Freedom and Dignity. He said, man as man is dead and good riddance. B.F. Skinner is the leading sociologist in the world today. Did you hear that statement? Man as man is dead and good riddance. He's saying man with all his aspirations of meaning and purpose in life, that man's dead. And good riddance, B.F. Skinner says. He's saying man is a machine. He probably wouldn't say that if you put the finger on him. But he's saying man is a machine. He's saying there are no absolutes. All absolutes that we have today, most modern men believe if there are absolutes, they're only arbitrary. Not any of them that are infinite. No basic truth. I wanted to share this with you to just help you understand the culture. This is what we're living in. This is where parents have come from. This is why their teenagers are the way they are today. Not because it's their fault. I just want you to know where teenagers are and where parents are today. This is why I wanted to share that with you. So parents have come out of the Depression, World War II, with two basic goals in life, that of personal peace and prosperity. The kids rebelled against it. Their answers didn't work. So guess what the kids' two basic goals are in life? Personal peace, prosperity. Apathy is rampant. Apathy is rampant. In the 60s, 1968, when I was in college, kids were just having all kind of demonstrations on campus. They were active, aggressive, violent. What are kids doing today? On campus, streaking. 2 years ago, streaking fat. I heard Francis Schaeffer say, he said, don't be glad that kids are streaking. Be sad. Don't be glad. Be sad. Don't be glad because they're not burning buildings and have gone to something like streaking. Be sad. They've lost hope. They're apathetic now. All streaking was just a sign of meaninglessness and apathy. So I wanted to share that with you before we get into what we're going to say. Now I want to talk with you about the parent's idea, the average parent's idea of youth ministry. First of all, the average parent in the church believes that youth ministry is simply entertaining the kids. Now why? You say, now why do they have this concept? Well, basically the reason they have this concept is that's the way it's been. We've been talking about this all week. Cookies, Kool-Aid, entertainment, activities. Entertain the kids with recreation programs. Entertain them with camps, retreats, and you can even have experiences. But the basic concept of youth ministry and that most parents have in the church today is that of entertain the kids, keeping them out of trouble. They tell the youth minister that, we really need a youth minister, but the youth minister can become a subtle threat to many parents today. You know why? There's a lot of reasons why. For one thing, the parents are saying, you can talk to them about Jesus and about right and wrong, but don't get involved in our family problems. I've heard that. You can talk to them about Jesus and right and wrong, but don't get involved in our family problems. The problem is that this is what young people are coming to you with. And this is the very core of many of their problems, things that stem from the family relationship. Another reason that parents consider many youth ministers a subtle threat is because they are. And parents have good reason, in many cases, to mistrust youth ministers because they are not giving their young people wise counsel and advice. In many instances, I have seen youth ministers turn kids against their parents. This is, to my understanding, totally in violation of Scripture. But they advocated in the name of truth and forget the universal principles that the Scripture points out. So there is some good reason for parents to consider youth ministers a subtle threat. Now, I believe personally that youth ministry is family ministry. I don't think you can separate the two. Like I've said, for so long we as youth ministers have tried to treat young people as though they were isolated individuals, alone, separate. But they're not. They're part of a basic family unit. And as I said earlier, the center of that unit are two people, the parents. And we said earlier that youth ministry problems that your kids are having usually a lot of times begin at home. Quarrels with the parents. Relationships with brothers and sisters. You know, you tell me that Jesus Christ is the answer. You tell me that Jesus Christ can change my life. How does that relate to my relationship with my dad? It's bad. It's sour. And see, I want to tell you something. You can talk to young people, you can talk to them all you want to about committing their life to Jesus Christ, but if they can't live the Christian life in their family, they can't live it any place. But if they can walk with Jesus in their family, they can walk with Him any place. The reason it's so hard for young people to follow Jesus Christ in their family is because their family knows them better than anybody else. They can't fool them. They're more transparent. But I know that if you've worked with young people in any in-depth way, you've discovered how many problems begin or how many problems they have are centered around the family and relationships with mom or dad or one of the brothers or sisters or personal family problems. How many young people are in your youth ministry whose parents are alcoholics? Just think about that. Or one of the parents are an alcoholic. This is such a rampant problem. How many young people that are in your youth group at church are part of a family where the parents are divorced? Now these are all very important problems that weigh heavily on their relationship to Jesus Christ. And if we're not meeting these problems, if we're not concentrating on some of these problems, we're not going to be able to sufficiently deal with those young people's relationship to Jesus Christ. We're not going to be able to lead them to a proper walk and a proper relationship to the Lord. And I've seen this so often. And there's so many kind of different personal family problems and alcoholism, drug addiction, divorce, all kind of things. So there are all kinds of other things. Okay, solving youth problems means working with their parents. Now, this is hard. This is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. And it's one of the scariest things. I mean, I don't have any trouble sitting down with a young person and sharing, but I have trouble with their parents. I just sometimes feel inadequate. And the reason I feel inadequate is because I am a lot of times. But youth ministry and solving young people's problems and helping them to deal with life questions and problems is going to mean working with their parents. Now, One of the first things, one of the most practical things you can do in, to begin a relationship with the parents of your young people is just try and communicate with them. Now, how can you communicate? There are so many different things that we could do to communicate. One thing is just to make appointments with our, with parents of our young people. Make appointments and share with them your concepts and your goals and your life goals, you know, concepts of ministry and your life goals and what you want to do as youth minister or what do you want to do as you're working with their young people. So communicate them. Communicate through parents' meetings. How many of you, just think about this. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. How many of you have had a parent meeting in the last 3 months with the parents of your young people? Now, we have a responsibility to communicate with those parents because they are giving us precious time with their kids. We have a responsibility to communicate with them. And so often we neglect it. How many, you know, and here's another practical suggestion. This is something that I've done. I used to do this every month, but I do this every so often. I send out a parent newsletter. This is just for the parents of my young people. Let me show you what I've done. I've tried to be a little creative here. I've got on this, you know, thing, Reach Out Ministries, a monthly publication to the parents of teens. And the title of it is The Family, God's Basic Unit. And I got over here, Wisdom and Strength. That's what this is called, Wisdom and Strength, this little newsletter. The reason is because, you ever noticed how Proverbs talks about the wisdom of the elderly and the strength of youth? And that's just a little idea we had, and we just put it together. Now, what this is it says, open it up, it's real simple, it says, what's happening this month? We have responsibility to communicate with the parents of our young people what's going on, what we're doing, and when we're going to do it, and where we're going to do it, and why we're doing it. So I've got Sunday, 3:30, Girls Discipleship Group. 4 o'clock, Boys Discipleship Group. Monday, Leadership Family. Meets on first and third Mondays of each month. It's an adult group, training adults to work with young people. Then we go Wednesday, Joy Explosion, and all kind of things. And then I say, special events this month. These are some special things. 7th anniversary celebration. Youth ministers at National Reach Out Conference, Ridgecrest. Gulf Coast Keswick. Prophecy Conference, Youth Discipleship Seminar with a guy, Thanksgiving Service. And then I've got, as a special event, this, now remember this is to parents, as a special event in the month of November, I've got November 27th, Thanksgiving, a time with God and your family. And then I've got something, listen to this, I've got our ministry to parents of young people is progressing slowly but surely. Now that school's begun, we plan to do a great deal more in this area. One of our plans is a parent-teen retreat. The purpose of this retreat will be to work out problems that hinder communication within the family. The retreat will be on a weekend at a motel or some farm or secluded area. And I'll talk some more about it and how we desire to communicate with the parents. This is just simply a simple tool that you can use to communicate with the parents of your young people. We have a responsibility, and we need to use this thing. Okay, another area in working with parents is that of, I use the word counseling with parents, but that I don't mean counseling on a professional level. I mean talking with parents, making appointments with parents, and talking with them about their kids. Talk to them, you know, why can't, you know, and you say, why should we have these appointments with parents? Well, here's some good reasons. First, to better understand young people's problems and their situations. You spend some time with the parents of your young people and you'll get a better point of view of what's going on in that kid's life because you won't be getting a one-sided picture. Listen, you hear some kids talk about their parents and you'll think their parents are gorillas. And then all of a sudden you meet them and they're, you can't believe it. If somebody tells you about a person, you know, you always draw this mental picture. You know, always. And then when you see them, you think, good grief. It's not at all like I pictured it. And this is the case. We need to meet with parents, have sessions with parents, so that, and these are individual sessions, with mom and dad, to better understand young people's problems and their situations. Another good reason is to better understand parents' problems and their situation. A lot of youth ministers aren't married. A lot of them don't have kids and don't have the responsibilities that a father has or a mother has. Well, we don't know. We gotta put ourselves in their shoes. You know, we can hear the kid come to us and say, well, how bad mom and dad are to me. How rough it is around our house. And how they have they're not motivated to seek God in any way. But you need to get the other point of view, and the only way you're going to get it is by talking and meeting and spending time with their parents. And also, another reason to spend time with parents, personal appointment time and counseling, is to open the door for personal relationships between the parents and the youth ministry. Let me tell you, I called a father of one of our girls who was having some problems, and I said, I'd like to talk with you, you know, about your daughter. You know, I said, it's not anything serious. I want to talk with you about her. I think you can help me get some insight into some other ways I can help her. So I began to develop a relationship with this girl's father. Now, that guy and I are very close right now, simply because I reached out to him and shared with him my concern for his daughter and my concern for him, and how I didn't think I had all the answers, and I needed his help. And that guy, he just treats me like a king. I just can't explain it to you. I mean, he's always coming up to me and giving me something. Or like my van broke down. I have a Volkswagen van. I don't even want to talk about it. I had one. I just sold it. But broke down, and I had to take the motor out 3 times and do a little work on it. And he had a big old 2-door garage, and he just insisted that I come over there and do the work. You know, insisted. And that man loves me, and I love him. I know it. And it's because I've taken time to develop a relationship with him. If you're really interested in dealing with the basic problems of young people, you're going to have to get to know their parents in most cases. Or you need to, or it'll benefit you greatly if you do. You'll waste a lot of time, I think, if you don't. And you'll miss out on a lot of things. Okay. Another reason is to see the needs, another reason for meeting with parents like this is to see the needs of the whole family. See the family as a unit. You know? You get to meet with those parents and you find out, you begin to see their family situation from another perspective. It's more of a unit. And this is a unit that God ordained, and I didn't. And we need to begin to see this, and this will greatly help us if we just spend some quality time with parents of our young people. Also, another suggestion when you're thinking about youth ministry as being family ministry is to involve parents in your youth ministry. You think, God, my kids would go crazy if I started inviting their parents to do things. You're wrong. They won't. We do it. And I've done it. They don't go crazy. They might pretend like they don't like it. You know? But in the long run, it'll greatly multiply your ministry and really benefit you and your kids and their relationships to their parents. How do you do this? Okay, you can involve parents in camps and trips that you take. We go on 2 or 3 retreats a year with our young people, big retreats, and we do all kind of weekend things. And we just have some of the parents to go with us, and they'll get involved. We don't let parents just stand around. Mm-mm. No, they're going to be right in there with them and involved and interacting. Another way is through Bible studies. We have a Reach Out Bible study. We call it Joy Explosion. It's an evangelistic Bible study. We have parents that come to that. And basically, they're parents who feel like God's calling them to work with young people, but they're parents of some of our teenagers. See, I think it's one of the most dangerous things that we can do is to treat a young person just like, boy, you're just an isolated individual, and everybody has to know what's going on in the body of Christ. If the adults could just be like you, or and if the younger kids could just be like you, And this is the impression we leave with a lot of high school students a lot of times. You know, we let them do their things separately. And they don't understand the body of Christ when they get in college. They get older, they don't understand what you're talking about when you say the body of Christ, because they've never experienced it. One of the most exciting things that's ever happened to me is I went on a renewal weekend and took about 12 kids from my church to another church. And there were all these visiting teams in there, and there were old couples. There were young people. And I was going back after the weekend, I was asking my kids, I was saying, what impressed you the most about the weekend? One of the girls looked at me and said, you know what I discovered? And I said, what? She said, I discovered that the same Holy Spirit which motivates me motivated Mr. and Miss Kraft. Mr. and Miss Kraft were 65 years old. And she said, it was so exciting that I could communicate and relate to them. And she just discovered the body of Christ is what she discovered. She didn't know it. But this isn't going to take place unless, in some ways, you try to structure it. Okay. We can also involve parents in youth ministry by setting up seminars for them. And boy, we can go into all kind of seminars. Developing seminars for parents like how to discipline your children. You get a lot of parents to come to that one. Husband and wife relationship, you say, hold it. That has nothing to do with youth ministry. You're wrong. You're wrong. It has a whole lot to do with it. Because a lot of your kids are really hurt inside because mom and dad aren't getting along. You know? They're hurting. They're bleeding. You can structure seminars. All you need to do is get permission from who's ever in your church in charge and say, or just say, I'd like to help you with this. I'd like to be in on this because I see a need. You know, okay. Also, you can develop seminars on spiritual leadership. My goodness. I know a lot of fathers who would love to get in on a seminar how they could be the spiritual leader of their family. And all kind of other seminars. Excuse me.
Bring someone in to lead these.
Usually we bring someone who knows what he's doing in to lead these things. And I'll talk about that more. Also, you need to know where. That is, you know, when you get involved with parents, if you really do get involved with working with these parents, some of those parents are going to need some help. Some of them may need professional help. Do you know where they can get it? See, I'm not a trained professional counselor, and I'm not going to get involved in things that I can't handle. We need to just be honest about this. But we need to know where they can get involved in it. Like in my situation, there is within our body a psychiatrist. There's a female psychiatrist, and she works with family adolescent problems. I guess that's her, you know, what she majors in, adolescent problems. But she's a Christian, and I urge you, don't dare. It's just dangerous to send some of your parents off to non-Christian. A psychologist or psychiatrist. It just really is because they don't have the basic answers. They lead people to a certain point and they drop them. You know, they take, like I was talking to one girl and she said, boy, one of these TM groups is really helping me. And I said, oh, great. What are they helping? She said, well, I discovered that one of my basic problems about concerning my self-image was because I never really related to my father. My father neglected me. And all these things. And that's as far as they took her. They showed her the problem and just took her and left her. Just left her there. Buddy, the scripture goes a lot farther than that. And so we need to know where they can get professional help if it's needed. We can involve parents in recreation. Boy, a whole lot of men and women too. You know what we're doing? We got a lady in our church, two ladies in our church who are working with junior high girls in some of this Pioneer Girl material, some of this Pioneer Girls material. One of the ladies here works as a director in the Southwest for Pioneer Girls, and you might want to talk with her if you're interested in this. But they're teaching those girls all kind of things about, they're relating posture and all kind of things to Scripture. They're taking principles of Scripture and making it practical for these girls where they are as junior high girls. And they're just, the girls are just excited and everything about it. They're so excited. But there's so many things that you can involve parents in your youth ministry if you'll just look for them. Okay. Another thing, Working with parents means a ministry of reconciliation. Working with parents means a ministry of reconciliation. We need to teach young people what the Scripture says about their parents, about their relationship to their parents. Did you know nobody ever took time when I was a high school student to explain to me some principles of Scripture that would have helped me so much? Nobody ever took time to me. When I was in college, you know what passage of Scripture I had more trouble with than any other passage of Scripture? And I was a Bible student. Romans 13. I didn't understand. I had no concept what Paul was talking about there when he said, obey those in positions of authority over you. I thought, good grief, Paul, I don't know what you're talking about. Or I said, you know, that's... Or I'd read Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I think, now, you know, Paul, that's good. That sounds good, but you don't understand my situation. You'd be surprised how many young people would feel just like that. You know what? We tell young people to do things and then don't tell them why. See, people told me you need to obey your parents. Nobody ever told me why. The Scripture tells you why. Did you know that I believe that the Scripture gives honest answers to honest questions? How many times have you evaded a young person because you didn't have an answer? And pretended like you did. Or pretended like they were stupid for asking the question. We need to explain to them the principles of Scripture behind passages like Romans 13 concerning authority. God just opened my eyes to the Scripture passage, Luke 7, 1 through 11. You know what that's about? It's about a Roman centurion who sent word to Jesus one day and asked him to come heal his sick servant. You know? I thought, that's a good story. And you know, how Jesus says, okay, I'll go. And he goes with the Jewish elders. And they're going on the way. And the centurion sends word to Jesus and says, don't come any further. He says, because, you see, you just need to say a word and my servant will be healed. Because I'm a man under authority. And I have people also I'm a man in a position of authority, and I'm also a man under authority. I have generals over me, but I also have men under me, and I say go, and they go, and do this, and they do that. And then Jesus said, wow, this man has such great... He says, in all of Israel, I've never seen such great faith. And this man's a Gentile. You know? And he just told the crowd around him, and he went on, and of course the servant was healed. And I thought, well, now what's this? What's the principle behind the Scripture? Well, the principle was, this man had such great faith that he could say, Jesus, just say a word and you'll be healed. That's true, but that's not as far as it goes. Why could that man say that? Because he told Jesus why. He said, because I understand authority. He said, you see, Jesus, I understand who you are. I understand your position of authority. I understand why you can say, just say a word and my servant will be healed. See, this man understood authority. How many of you young people really understand the principle of authority as stated in Scripture? How many of you young people really understand what it means to be obedient to parents and why they need to be obedient to parents? I tell young people that parents are God's character builders. I say, you want to let God build character? You want God to build character in your life? Get under the authority of your parents. I say, why did God give you parents anyway? I mean, he just picked two out of the sky and say, you know, these would be good for you maybe. I said, no, God has a purpose for all that he does. And he gave you the parents that you have for his specific purpose in your life. Those were the two people he selected that could most effectively build his character in your life. Even if they're not Christians. See, I share with them, it's not so important how your parents respond to you, although that is important. But what's important is how you respond to them. See, God will bless your obedience. See? These are some principles that we need to share with young people in working. If we're going to really communicate these things to them and really begin to see them really grow in their relationship to the Lord. We need to tell them why. We need to share with young people practical ways to make things right with their parents. See, I was telling you about this girl that she'd been in a TM group and they'd just taken her so far. They said, wow, that's your problem. Your relationship with your daddy wasn't right. So that's why you're this way. Just accept it. That's not what Scripture says. Young people come up to me all the time and say, Tommy, my parents are lost. Are they nominal Christians? And I'm really burdened. How can I most effectively witness to them? They say, I went in the house the other day and I told my daddy some things that he needed to do. And boy, he got so mad. And I was just trying to witness. And I say, did God ever tell you to witness to your parents? He said, yeah. I said, how did he tell you to do it? He said, well, I don't know. I said, let me give you two good things you can do to really witness to your parents. I said, you know what the Scripture said? I said, you want to really bear witness to your parents concerning Jesus Christ? I said, yeah. I said, okay, obey them. I said, oh, God, I thought you were going to help me. You said, obey. I said, yeah, obey them. I said, what would your parents do if you started being obedient to them in all things? I said, they'd notice it. That's what they'd do. And I said, you want to get their attention, aren't you? You're wanting to be a witness. I said, obey them. You'll get their attention. You know, and then when you tell young people that, they sort of look at you like you're out of touch with reality, man. They say, you know, you always make mistakes. And I said, that's right. God made a provision for that, too. I said, you really want to bear witness to your parents? Yeah. When you disobey them, seek their forgiveness. I said, they'll really notice that. You want to get their attention? Obey them. And when you disobey them, seek their forgiveness. There are a lot of young people who think they got a hotline to heaven. A lot of Christian young people. And they completely alienate their parents from God as a result. Because they're disobedient in subtle ways many times. See, they're trying to be spiritual, so they won't be disobedient outwardly. But subtly, they're coming across with an attitude of arrogance and pride. And parents pick it up every time. You know why? Because God made them that way. And God gave parents the ability to spot these things in their life. Last fall, God convicted me of some blatant pride in my life. I didn't think I was a proud guy. See, you'll hear me share my testimony tonight. I had a real problem with self-image. So the very opposite to me of self-image was pride. Watch Satan. He'll hit you at two extremes. He'll hit you at two extremes. He knows your weaknesses. And I thought, wow, boy, this pride has been there all along. And I just read it. Jesus just told me. He says, out of the heart of man comes all sorts of things. Pride, so-and-so. I thought, wow, who has seen this the most in me? And boy, the Lord said, your father. I said, wow. So I called my father and I said, Dad, I said, recently God has convicted me of some things that I realized. God's convicted me of just really blatant pride in my life. And I said, as I began to realize this, I began to realize that you had seen it all along. And I said, I just want you to know that I've realized it and I want to ask you to forgive me. And I want to thank you for just really helping me in all the ways that you tried to help me with this. And I'm sorry for the times that I wouldn't let you. You know? Well, young people need to know. They need to know how to get things right with their parents. You need to share with them how they can do it. Some scripture like this. Matthew 5:23-24. Jesus said, when you come to the altar of God, something like this, paraphrase, when you come to the altar of God, but have offended your brother, have an offense against your brother, drop your sacrifice. Go make things right with your brother. And then come back and offer your sacrifice so that it'll be acceptable. See, there are a lot of young people who are trying to get in the will of God, but they're after under the authority of their parents. That's an impossibility. How can you be in God's will when you're after under the authority of your parents when God gave you the very parents you have for His purpose? You begin to share this with young people and they'll begin to see this because you'll be revealing to them scriptural principles and the Holy Spirit will begin to work in their life. Okay, another way of working with parents, and is planning parent-teen interaction. Times where they get together. And would somebody tell me what time it is? Okay, I'll be through in 5 minutes and y'all can ask questions. Parent-teen interaction. Here's some creative ideas. Who do you think could most effectively build character in the lives of the guys in your youth group in an ideal situation? The father. What about father-son Bible study groups? Mother-daughter Bible study groups. You say, what do they study? What about Proverbs? Proverbs was written to young men. A lot of wisdom in Proverbs. What about a study that you, or what about, maybe you could just develop some kind of Bible study that a father could do with his son individually, like maybe a study of characteristics of prophets in the Scripture, men of God in the Scripture. You take a prophet of God, Isaiah, and look and show the father how to just look for characteristics of that prophet. And then he'd go and share them with his son. And they discover together, work together, how they can build those characteristics into their life. Boy, just with women, the study of, mother-daughter groups, or mother-daughter individually studying characteristics of women of God in the Scripture. All kind of things she can do. Parent-youth interaction? What about a parent night dinner? You know what I did in Columbus, Georgia? I was trying to get across to my kids the importance of how God wanted to speak to them through their parents, and it didn't make that much difference if they were Christians or not. I said, what's important is your obedience. And I said, let's have a dinner. I said, y'all want to have a dinner? Let's just have your parents. They're special guests. Kids said, my parents will never come. I said, invite them and see. So I wrote a little letter out and said to all the parents of all our young people, said, we're having a dinner. You are the honored guest. This is for you. And we're doing this to honor you, and we're asking you, would you, accompany your young person? And I told the young people, go and ask your parents, every one of them. And their kids brought them a special guest. Man, we got there. We had this banquet, and we honored the parents all night. We honored the parents, And we went around, and all the kids introduced their parents as honored guests, Okay. We had parents there that had never graced the door of that church. See, they wouldn't come if a preacher asked them, but when their daughter or son asked them to come with them to a dinner in their honor, they came. Guess what? We honored them in so many different ways and had a good time. And then I shared for about 15 minutes about how concerned I was that their young people have proper relationships with them. And this was one of the basic purposes of this dinner. Boy, I had parents come up to me that I'd never seen before and just tell me how much they appreciated it. These are just some examples. Family retreats. On May 7th and 8th, now you can do all kind of large family retreats. But on May 7th and 8th, here's what I'm doing. We're having a parent-teen retreat, weekend retreat, at a motel. And here, the only way a young person can get to this retreat is if he's got one of his parents with him. If you can't get one of your parents to come with you, you can't come. And we're going to have this retreat. We're having a Christian family counselor, professional, to come in and deal with communication problems between parents and their kids. Now, here's what they're going to be doing. They're going to be staying in a motel room together for a weekend. They're going to be mom and dad and their daughter, maybe, or mom and dad and their son, or just dad and his son, or dad and his daughter. And they're going to be staying, and we'll have large groups, where he'll get them doing something. We're going to begin with Tinker Toys. Why? We're getting this Neutralogic, and we're going to get the family groups to build something together that says something about their family. and then they'll share it with some other groups. Then they'll break down into small groups. Then all of a sudden all the mothers will be together and all the men will be together. And then they'll break down into four groups of family sets, you know. And all this interaction, and we're going to be dealing with, you know, with communication problems between parent and teen. Now, we can only touch the surface on a weekend, but you got to begin someplace. And we're praying that this will be a beginning point. Develop spiritual growth projects for families. Boy, there are a whole lot of things you can do to get those families. Share with, you know, you have some men in your church right now who are committed to Jesus Christ, and you have young people. Share with them how they can so much more effectively than you can ever do with their young people really begin to develop these characteristics of a godly man or woman in their kids. And say, what are some maybe projects that you could do as a family? Or some ministry projects? Some, you know, as a family group to really explain Jesus' strategy of ministry to them, to really convey it in a practical way, you know. There are all kinds of things you can do. Now, here's the last thing. Maybe we'll have 5 minutes. If you are going to have appointments with young people, you need to have a plan of interviewing them. You need to know what you're going to say before you get in there. You know what I'm saying? A lot of parents are professional men. A lot of businessmen, they don't want to come into some youth minister's office and him just sit around there and not know what he's doing. So you need to have a planned interview. And here's some suggestions, and I've already got these. You don't have to write them down because I'm going to give you a whole outline of everything I just said. You need to ask questions maybe about their childhood, their adolescence, their marriage, and their children. You say, those are personal. We have a policy in my church. If we do any in-depth work with any young person individually, eventually we will meet with their parents. That's a policy. Eventually. So if I'm starting to do some in-depth work, personal counseling with a young person, I say, now, I want you to know that you know that I intend to eventually talk with your parents about some of these things. You know, they go, oh, no, I don't want you to do that. Well, I say, well, listen, I'll never do that until I have your full consent. But I want you to know that this is our policy, and I intend to do that when I get your full consent. But I want you to know I never share anything with them that you ask me not to. And I won't. But see, I don't leave it an option. Can I talk with your parents? I tell them I am going to. Just when they get ready to let me, I'm going to do it. And that's happening for. And boy, they are always turned off at first, but eventually they see the necessity many times. And I've talked with their parents and had some really wonderful things happen. I'll just give you two instances. I've talked with one parent about one of their daughters, and she was having some real emotional problems. Not radically emotional, but she felt torn between her mother and her father. She felt like she had been come between. They were pulling her apart. So I said, you know, I'm going to meet with your parents, you know, eventually. And she began to see the need for this in her own life eventually. So finally I met with her parents and began to share this with them. And boy, it was just beautiful. They began to see it, and they were just, you know, and they've been, and since then they've been working on the very things. And since then the mother has come to me and said, can I have an appointment with you? I need some help. And the father has done the same thing. And that's one instance, and that's a success story. The other one is this. I got into the interview with one of the parents. I said, tell me something about your childhood. They tell me about the childhood. So, you know, what do you remember about your adolescence? Some of the problems you had during adolescence. And I said, now, concerning your marriage, have either one of you ever been married before? You know, is this your... And you think that's personal, but that's some things you got to get down to. Father looked at me and said, they looked at each other and they said, we don't want to talk about it. Well, I knew right there that was one of the problems. I didn't have to ask him any other questions. I said, that's fine. So if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. Now, what that told me is that one of those parents had been divorced, or both of them, and they had never dealt with those feelings. See? And that was one of the problems. And I already knew that was one of the problems because the daughter had already told me. And see, that was one of the problems in their relationship and one of the problems that their daughter was using to rebel against them. She detested the father because he was being collared by the mother. And she detested the mother because she was so authoritative over the father. I want to tell you something. Kids will spot that every time. You ask a kid, who's the dominant figure in your family? They can tell you without a moment's thought, they can tell you. Oh, let me tell you what happened. I tried to work with those parents all sorts of ways. The father finally told me, we think we can handle it ourselves. 2 months later, daughter ran away. Stayed gone for 3 weeks. Got involved in all kind of moral impurity. Came back home. I went over, began to try to talk with them, meet with them. Parents are still thinking that all they need is the Lord. They're using God as a scapegoat. I believe it, boy, that God can work their problems out. But it's a trip for them, you know. And it's simply what it is. And see, their daughter's having to suffer for it right now. Of course, they're suffering a whole lot more. Well, she's running away again now. I'm wondering when God's going to convince them that they need to face some things. Okay, you need to ask them questions about their goals in life. What are your goals in life as a parent and as a mother? You need to ask them questions about their desires for the children. What are some of your basic desires for your kids? This will give you some insights into the parents' goals and desires for the young people. Ask parents what they consider to be the child's basic problem. You'll learn something a lot of times because they'll know it a lot more specifically than you ever gotten close to it. And a lot of times they won't know it. They'll have no idea. You know, a lot of times they'll tell you something so far away from their kid's problem that you won't believe it. But it'll help you in relating to them and communicating with them. Ask them about what they consider to be the strengths and weaknesses of their children. That'll help you a whole lot in really understanding young people. And also, expect parents to be uneasy. They're not... Here, you are getting... You're working inside their family unit. Don't expect them to just be real happy that you are. They're going to be uneasy. Don't be pushy during the interview. Parents say, I don't want to talk about it. That's fine. We'll go on to something else. And only give suggestions if they ask for them. Remember that. Because they'll walk out of that interview and think, that guy thinks he knows so much and he knows so little. Or that lady thinks she knows so much, but she is so far from where we really are. But a lot of times they'll come and say, well, what do you suggest? If you just listen and ask them questions, you just sort of sit back and say, well, you know, this is real interesting. Well, what do you suggest? And then you can share. Better have something to share, too. And if you don't, you need to say, I don't know. Don't try to pretend that you do when you don't. Because there's going to be a lot of times you don't. Okay, those are just some ideas. Now, let me ask you if you have any questions.
You just answered one of mine. You said meeting with parents immediately. But you said don't believe in the solution. Just go in the
top. Let me tell you how to approach this. Go to the young person who's having problems and say, you know, how can I help you? Or how are things going at home? He'll begin to tell you, how do you get along with your dad? How do you get along with your mom? So, you know, I'd really like to help you. I'd really, you know, do you think I might be able to communicate some of these feelings that you have to your parents? Do you think I might be able to help? You know, I'd love to meet with your parents if you wouldn't mind. Would you mind if I set up maybe an appointment with your parents and just talk with them and share with them? You know, maybe I can help them understand some of your feelings that you haven't been able to communicate, you know. And then maybe eventually you want to have an appointment with parents and the kid at the same time. And then if they, you know, you're going to run into some serious problems you may not be able to handle. You need to know some place where they can get some help. It's adequate. Okay, any other questions?
You let the kids know all the time.
Yes.
You can't make any type of appointment to the parents.
Yes, you've got to do that. And if a kid tells you in 1973 I did something that's really bad and I don't want my parents to know about it. You say, well, I want you to know they won't hear it from me. But I might encourage them I may encourage them because I know this is bothering them and it's a point of guilt. I may begin to talk with them about how important God is for them to have a clear conscience. You know? And I say, maybe, and I try to work with them, eventually you tell them. I'm not going to. Never. But You can get rid. There's no need for you to have this guilt, but you don't do that all at once. This is gradual that you begin to talk to kids, you know, and move them toward their parents. See, Bill Gothard, I don't know if any of you know who Bill Gothard is. He's the guy who does the Institute in Basic Youth Conflicts. He says that his strategy of youth ministry can be found in the last verse in the Old Testament. Anybody got their Bible? Read the last verse in the last book in the Old Testament, somebody.
"That will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which thou didst swear to our fathers, forefathers from the days of old."
No. "You will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the land."
Okay, that's his strategy of youth ministry. First, he said, restore the hearts of the fathers to the children. How are you going to restore the hearts of the fathers if you're not working with them? Then he said, restore the hearts of the children to the fathers. That's his strategy of youth ministry. And he's got, I consider his seminar to be the finest seminar in the United States concerning youth problems today. A lot of criticism, but it's fine.
I mean, a minute ago, you talked about the parents of all kids,
just
to let them know you.
Oh, yeah.
You know you're going to do that.
Yeah, like when I had this parent meeting, I said, "Now we have a policy here, and if any of you, if we're doing any in-depth work with your young people, we want to meet with you personally, eventually."
What do you mean by in-depth? This means that not every
youth you talk with. No, like if I'm doing some in-depth discipling with a boy, I want to know his folks. If I'm doing some in-depth counseling with a boy, a whole lot of times I run into parental problems. I want to know his folks. I say, if I'm really going to be able to help you, I'm going to need to see your problem from another point of view other than your own. I need to talk with your folks. I begin to share them, of course, you know how important it is, according to Scripture, that they listen to the advice and counsel of the parents. I said, you want God to take care of this in your life? Have you ever talked to your dad about it? Have you ever asked him what he thinks? I couldn't talk. He said, "I can't talk to my dad." I said, "That's why we're here today. We want to find out. We want to work. We want to come to a point where you can relate to your father." You know, and I don't expect it to happen just like that. For a lot of kids, it takes a long time. We just taped it. And I also have... Do I have any other questions? Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Okay, I'll take yours, Will, and then I'll take yours.
Okay. I think I've got a pretty good answer now on mine, though. Have you had some negative response from parents, though, saying, "Listen, you're just a younger person. I have never had this hit at you, but I've been told that, you know, the potential of the danger is there.
Sure.
I can think it's, you know, just overcome this. By their opponents, by not throwing out solutions, just let them ask you for...
Right. That's one of the things. But see, all the things that you do prior to this are in preparation to meet this problem. See, why am I communicating with parents? Why? Because, why do I want to send parents a newsletter? Because I want them to know that I know how important they are. And because I have a responsibility to them, and because they are entrusting the very lives of their young people to me at times. See, this solves a whole lot of problems. And you approach, and the approach to your appointments is very important. You don't approach them, "I've got a lot of things that will help you." You approach them, "I really have a desire to see your young person grow to full maturity in Jesus Christ. And I can't do that. And I really need some help, counsel from you." And then you say, "These are some things I've discovered, maybe. Can you give me any insight?" And then they may say, "Well, have you discovered any? I imagine you have some insights too." "Well, yeah, I have a few."
You just share your ministry sometimes in the church?
Yes.
And this and that, and ask them, like you said, you know, their thoughts and their insights in youth ministry.
And you might approach them like this: "I'm really concerned that I really ministered to your son in the most effective way, or your daughter. But I really am deficient, and that's why I'm coming to you. I want to know what you think I could do to really minister to your son. And here's some ideas that I have, you know, about what I really want to do." And explain your strategy to them. You can do that. And you ought to be able to explain your strategy of youth ministry in 5 minutes or less. And this will really help you. The approach is so important. If a parent, like we have a girl that's working with a girl who's a Jew, just became a Christian. parents are Jewish. They want to know what's going on. What are you doing with my daughter? So she went over there and she just told them. She said, I'm really concerned that your daughter really grow up to be an effective leader and that she have these real, that she have these important character qualities in her life. And she goes over some of the qualities. And we believe, and I discovered in my own life that only Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Him can really, you know, you may disagree, but this can really, and this is what I'm doing with your daughter. I'm trying to help her grow toward maturity, you know, as a girl. And you know what? The parents just said, man, that's great. That's great. You know, see, you're not trying to destroy their relationship with their daughter. Yeah, this is what a lot of parents fear. They feel like you're a subtle threat, like I was saying. And many times youth ministers are. They're so tactless, it's unreal. Yes. That's right. And you run into this, but if you're pointing out to them how God is using them, and that the only way, you know, the only way your kid's going to grow is as you begin to help him grow, you know, and how God wants to use you and gave him you as parents and gave you him as your son or daughter for His purpose, and you know they begin to catch a vision of that themselves. And a lot of times this has moved parents into more intense Bible study because their kid's starting to get into Scripture, you know.
This is where you go back down here again and write some Bible study together.
Yeah.
And I've got a question about that, though. How do you deal with the young person who does not have a father, or the young person who's got multiple parents?
Okay, the young person who doesn't have a father or a mother, and there are some, tell them to adopt some. That's one idea. Adopt some. There are some men, there are some elderly men and women in your church, some who have kids or are in college, some who have no kids, who are spiritual giants. Man, who else could we entrust?
Most of them probably adopted one
already anyway. Yeah. And say, and girls come to me all the time and say, my father's dead. Who do I go to for counseling and structure for dating? I say, you got an uncle? I say, what older man do you really trust for counseling advice? And they say, oh, you know, so-and-so in the Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher or something, you know, or my uncle or my granddaddy. I say, adopt him. That's your man. Go to him with these things. Or go to this lady with these things. You know, the kids who have multiple parents, I say, which ones do you live with? And I say, seek their counseling advice.
Okay, I'm talking about for the retreats and things like that. Like, I've got one girl by discipleship that she lives with her father most of the time. She's remarried. Her mother's mm-hmm. not remarried. There's a conflict there. She loves her real mother. She's receiving an attack on her from the father. But like mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's here in her life mm-hmm. most
of yeah.
the time. I think she would move back to her mother. Her father would move out of state probably.
I really don't have a sufficient answer. I have a suggestion maybe that you get in touch with both the parents. And, you know, the father and the stepmother and the real mother. And maybe say, you know, here's a situation. I know that you're aware of it. And I just want to do the best thing. What do you think is the best approach to this? A lot of times they'll tell you. And a lot of times they'll say, I don't think you need to do that. But this is part of working with them, you know.
Like you said, just my age, you know, that problem. It is
so good. Yeah. And see, we need to be involved helping kids. Man, how do you expect a high school person to deal with those problems like that alone? They can't, unless we're reaching out to their needs. We're going to have a problem. You had a question.
Yes, life's very materialistic and spiritual, but it has come up a couple of times. Can you
retreat that
we have? Does the church put all the bills
or
the kids pay part of it?
Usually the parents pay a lot, a great deal of it, if not all of it. I mean, you know, like if the kids, it's a parent teen, the parents would pay most of it. Oftentimes, the church pays maybe half or a third, fourth. As much, you know, you want to make it as reasonable as possible. And this is important. This isn't unspiritual at all. This is very realistic, and it's very important.
Can you tell me that a kid really feels like he's gotten more education
than before? Yes, I do. We have things that we charge. We're going to have a singing group come in on a Friday night. or something, a movie, have a movie at our church is called Touch Center, because we tried to get away from the building church concept. So we say this is just the building where the church meets, so we call it Touch Center. And so we're having a movie at Touch Center. Cheap date, $1 a piece, 50 cents a piece. We're doing this retreat. It's going to cost you $3. You know, food or something. You know, yeah, we don't, it doesn't bother us one bit. Now, if kids don't have it, that's all right, too. We'd say, come on, whether you got it or not. That doesn't stop us either. I'm going to have to close because we've run out of time. Let me tell you, I've got some outlines of everything that I've said. I've got some parent and teen newsletters that you can take for one and just do whatever you want to with it. But that's a pretty, you can take a couple of these outlines if you want. They're pretty in-depth. If you listened, you can add what else I didn't get.